And then, brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, last week we saw Jesus' interaction with sinners and tax collectors and how this angered the scribes and the Pharisees, how despicable it was for Jesus to be around those people. But Jesus highlighted that he was doing this to seek and save the lost. And he does so by illustrating God's desire and joy in seeking and finding those lost people with the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the one that we didn't reflect on was the parable of the prodigal son. And so now, after teaching about how God feels about the lost, Jesus now turns specifically to his disciples to give them more teaching. And we get a challenging parable today where we hear of a manager who is called before his rich master, his boss, really. And it seems that this manager hasn't been doing a very good job. He's been wasting the rich man's possessions and is going to be fired. The manager realizes, he doesn't have the strength to do manual labor. He is too proud to beg, so he figures out what he's going to do. He goes around to all the people that owe something to this rich man and has them reduce their debt. And contrary to what you might expect, the rich man comes back to the manager and says, "Good job." It's a little strange, right? But looking at the cleverness of this manager, knowing that he doesn't have the strength for manual labor, knowing that he is too proud to beg, he's got this clever mind. He knows that two things will happen. Either the rich man will be merciful, because that's who this man apparently is, or the people will be merciful to him because he reduced their debt, and they will take him in when he is fired. But is that what Jesus wants the disciples and subsequently us to learn? Does he want us to be clever in this way, to be maybe a little bit mischievous or even dishonest? Or is he telling the disciples to focus elsewhere? Maybe focusing on the rich man and how he responds to the manager. Because if you open up your Bibles and you look at Luke 15, right before this parable, we have the parable of the prodigal son. A story that we have heard many, many times. But the focus of the story is on the mercy of the father for this young man, this young son, who took his inheritance and squandered it with just living as he pleased. And yet, the father welcomes him in great mercy, much to the frustration of the other son. But what Jesus wants us to focus on in that parable is the mercy of the father. And today, Jesus still wants us to focus on mercy. This time, the mercy of the rich man. And it happens to be that this mercy is what this manager is banking on. He seems to know the character of this rich man is that of mercy and charity and love and kindness. And so when he goes and he halves some of the debts or reduces them by various amounts, he's actually doing the mercy of the rich man. He's banking on this solution to be the solution for his problem. What's also very important to note is that he knows that the solution can't be found in himself. He can't work, and he's not going to beg, so he has to look outside of himself, either to the rich man or to the debtors. And the commendation that the rich man gives this manager is for banking on the Lord's mercy, trusting in that mercy and that character. So the point of this parable to the disciples is to be dishonest, right? To manipulate people, to manipulate people who are merciful, right? That's what Jesus wants us to learn. Well, no, of course not. One of the things that Jesus regularly preaches on is the fact that the end is coming. That things will pass away, and God will return to make all things new. And the big part that Jesus highlights is you don't know when that's going to happen. He also highlights that he doesn't know when it's going to happen. That is only for the Father to know. And so he says, be ready. Continually, he says, to be ready. Here we see this dishonest manager notices the end is coming. And so what does he do? He gets ready. He banks on the mercy of the Father to be ready, to utilize the things of this world to be ready. And this is what we are to do. This is what we are to pull out of this parable, is that readiness. Using the things of this world and trusting in the Father's mercy to be ready. If you're faithful to God in the little things, you're going to be faithful to God in the big things. And as we look at this text, and we read in verse 14, we notice that it's not just Jesus and the disciples, but the Pharisees happen to be listening in as well. And these people are lovers of money. And what are they relying upon? They're relying upon their money, their possessions, their status in society, their good works, their status and their membership to the tribes of Israel. They're relying upon all of those things. And Jesus says and calls them out very plainly, you justify yourselves before men. That's what you seek. But God knows your hearts. And again, as it has been for the past couple of messages, this all comes back to a heart issue. It's also important that we look at this text again and you see where Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. Well, money is a bad translation. The original languages say mammon. You might remember that from the old King James. That's what they used to translate. They just said, well, mammon's mammon, so just put it in there. We're not going to try and translate that. Because that's also what the Greeks did. Mammon is an old Aramaic word, and it refers to your worldly possessions. So money falls in there, but as we look still to this day, it's even our homes, our goods, whatever's in our cabinets and in our closets, what's in our driveway. These are all of these things, all of these things. So then Jesus very plainly asks, who's your master? Who's in charge? God or mammon? And what do you rely upon more? Where is your heart? The Pharisees who are listening in, their hearts, well, they love money. That's where their heart is. And it's a reality that we still deal with today. Many in our church, and I'm not just referring to this church specifically, but in the church are lovers of money. How many televangelists do we hear of who live in mansions that are worth more than some people make in their entire lives? But if we are really honest with ourselves, it isn't just money. That's why it's important to see that it's mammon that Jesus says here, because we're all guilty of this. It's a first commandment problem. God says, don't have any other gods. And we do. We all have idols in our lives, other gods, other things that we trust and rely upon first and foremost, even before our own God. And it's a question, again, of where our hearts are and where our trust is. The difficult thing is that we all struggle with this, relying on anything and everything other than our God. It can be as small and silly as our phones, to things like our cars, our homes. It is money. Could even be our jobs. Could even be our families. We rely on all of these things more than God. The truth is that they can't help us. And when help was nowhere to be found, God entered into our creation to love and to serve us, to save us from these problems. The problem of sin is that unbelievable corruption, that it even corrupts these good things that have been given to us. And so Christ comes to us to save us from this corruption. He takes on human flesh and he shows God's mercy to the world as he takes our place, suffers our punishment for sin, dies the death that is meant for us. But Jesus' death and resurrection aren't just for him, aren't just a one-time thing to show God's mercy, but it's also to make all things new. And as we read in books like Revelation, we see that there is a coming reality when this world will pass away. If you turn on the news, that's what you're hearing continually, is that this world is groaning in pain and passing away. Christ is coming, and he is coming to make all things new. So the question then that we really need to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are you ready for that day? And as we reflect on this parable, if you trust and rely on the Father's seat, then you are. But in this time now, as we wait for that day to come, what now? Well, again, looking at the words of Christ today, his advice is to use what God has given us to be ready, to use what's around us to be ready. It's important that we look at these things and understand that they aren't evil in themselves. It's our hearts that are corrupted. Money isn't evil, but our hearts of greed are. It's just paper and metal, or a number on a bank account, or a piece of plastic in your wallet. The internet isn't evil, but the lust in our hearts is. Our possessions aren't evil, but our hearts that covet them are. Our families aren't evil, but our hearts that seek to control them, those are. So often we pass the blame. We say that it's these things. The old phrase, the devil made me do it. We pass the blame, but the reality is that the evil is inside of us. And even after receiving salvation from God, we are still fighting that fight with sin, seeking to be made new and to grow. And so as we reflect on this lesson from Luke 16, the question then also is, how do you use these mammon, these things in your life, ranging from money to car to house to whatever? Will you serve it, or will you use it to serve the Lord? God doesn't need money. He doesn't need our cars or any other possessions. But God desires us to serve him, and has called us to serve him, and has provided us with everything we need to serve him. And of course, it's not that we are giving these things to him, but we are using these things to love and to serve other people. And by doing that, we serve him. And in this blessing of service and this love that we get to experience, it changes our hearts. It rewires our brains so that our desire is to seek God and is to grow in love and is to be empathetic, to love God and love others, and not to be selfish or self-serving. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.